And now it's time for Power of Prophecy with your host, former professor at the University of Texas at Austin, career United States Air Force officer, and best-selling author, Tex Mars.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars. Welcome to another edition of Power of Prophecy. Well, my new book is called Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. And sales are doing pretty good on the book. It's on Amazon.com, of course, BarnesandNoble.com. But I hope you'll get your copy from us, because every cent that we make here in the ministry, of course, goes right back into the ministry. I don't even take any royalties for the book. It all goes back into the ministry, everything. I write for the pleasure of it. You know, that's wonderful when you can just write for the pleasure of something. When you can research, ask God to help you, and just enjoy your labors. Not worry about sales. God's sort of our salesman here, too. We don't have any commissioned salesmen that go out to bookstores and all that. So we just push ourselves, I guess. I tell you about the book, and my good friends, why, you know, many of you have written reviews of the book that are published on Amazon.com. Now, we don't make as much money on Amazon.com. I say money, it goes into the ministry, whatever we do make from Amazon.com or bookstores. But, you know, they buy our books at a huge discount. I think it's like 60% of the price, which, of course, is $24.95 at Amazon or at bookstores. But you can get it here in the ministry for $22. $22 plus $5 shipping and handling. It's a little bit bigger than most books. About 256 pages, but they're big pages. And it's got color photos. I always think that color adds a lot to a book. Wish I'd done color for Codex Magica and Mysterious Monuments and a few others. In any case, it's a different book. Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. And the subtitle is, well, I think it's pretty descriptive, too. It says, America's Christian Establishment Has Gone Berserk. And I propose on the back cover of the book that the pastors of America have, well, they've gone off the rocker. There's all kind of ways to put it, isn't there? Gone wild, gone berserk, gone off the off their rockers. But let's just face it, my friends. They're not listening to God. Most of them should never have been in the pastorate. It's just a career to them. It's a way to make money. They're shysters. They're charlatans. I prove that in this book. And you know, I don't really appreciate that. The establishment. I don't appreciate the churches in the cities and towns of America. They're very rare that a Christian pastor truly is of God. But 9 out of 10 churches in any city in America are just, well, I think they should be turned into the barns, into sheds for horses and donkeys. That's the kind of stuff they're teaching there. If they just stuck with the Bible, you know, if you would go in a church and the pastor would just read a chapter of the Bible every week, that might really do something for people. Because people don't even get that now. Really, you'd do a lot more just to read the Bible. In fact, you know, I was in the Air Force one time as an airman, and we had this big, you know, it was for basic training for boot camp people. And we, about 700 or maybe 1,000 people went in this auditorium. They had about an hour to learn about what the chaplaincy was all about. Well, turns out there were no chaplains there available that day. The chaplain was supposed to show up and speak to the 1,000 or so young airmen that were there, but he failed to do it. He was, you know, remiss in his job. So two airmen there just got up in front of the audience and said, you know, we're airmen. We work at the base chapel. There's no chaplain here to speak to you, but we just want to tell you what time the services are at the chapel. And then we're going to offer this building. You can come forward and give your life to Christ or rededicate your life to Christ. See, the airmen knew about, you know, altar call. I mean, they had seen Billy Graham. They had seen the chaplains do it and all. And they weren't supposed to be conducting this service. It was supposed to be the chaplains in the Air Force, but no chaplains. So the airmen just, you know, they just took it on their own and said, we don't have any service for you today, but if you want to come forward and dedicate your life to Christ or rededicate your life to Christ, we're going to have time for that. And so they allowed about 15 minutes. Well, I'll tell you what, my friends, about 300 people came forth. There was a revival in that building. It was an amazing thing. And the young airman came to the base chapel, and, you know, I worked there. I knew this. And the next day, the chaplain came in, and they went to him and said, you know, you didn't show up for your service yesterday. He said, ooh, I didn't, did I? Oh, my goodness. The calendar, you know, I lost it on the calendar. I'm so sorry. What happened? Did you have to let all those guys go? They said, no, we went ahead and had the service. He said, you did? Yeah, we just told them, you know, what time the chapel services were normally here on a Sunday. And then we gave them an opportunity to come forward to give their lives to Christ or to rededicate their lives to Christ. And the chaplain looked at them, and the two airmen said, and we had about 300 come up. Well, the chaplain would usually have like two or three come up. He said, 300? How did you do that? And I thought the young airman was pretty clever. He's about 21 years old. He said, well, chaplain, I just left it all to Jesus. I left it all to Jesus. This is the point, my friends. He didn't even preach a sermon, those two airmen. They didn't know how to preach, didn't know anything. But they did know how to give an opportunity for people to come to know Jesus. And, you know, boot camp is a very trying time for those airmen there. And there were about 1,700 to 1,000, I suppose. And they wanted some protection. They wanted some help from God during that tough time of boot camp. They came forward. But why didn't they come when the chaplain spoke? But the airman said it. I guess God was there. You know, when God's there, you don't have to have a powerful speaker. You don't have to do anything. When God's there, he takes over and conducts the service, doesn't he? A lot of people say, well, we're going to bring in this famous pastor, this famous evangelist. He's going to come and really do something here in our church. Or this famous guy's written books. Or this famous singer, she and her husband are going to sing here and really we're going to have a revival and all that. It doesn't take even that. It just takes God. A few words from God. And where are those words found? They're found in this Bible. Well, I learned very quickly. It didn't depend on the chaplain in the pulpit. It depended on the invisible God. He was there, though, at a lot of services. But he wasn't at a lot of other services. Well, My book is a real corker. I tell you, you're going to see hundreds of different stories, true stories. I give the names. I give the church. I mean, it goes all the way from the Pope to Billy Graham to Rick Warren to Joel Osteen. But to the guy that preaches to a 10-person church down the street, you'll learn about what all these people are doing. And I'm telling you, America needs a revival very bad. The Christian establishment is a sorry institution. But now wait just a minute, folks. Now, get that word establishment deep in your mind. The Christian establishment is a sorry, worthless institution. But not the Christian church. Not the Christian church. The Christian church is going on. It may have less members than it used to. It may not have church buildings that are big and glorious and towering up to the sky with their spires. But let me tell you something, folks. The Christian church is alive. It's got people moving. It may be meeting down the street from you. There might be 5 or 6 people that meet in a person's house. You may have to listen to Bible Home Church. We have many people listen to Bible Home Church. Go online to BibleHomeChurch.org. And I preach there. There's a sermon there about 30 minutes, just 30 minutes. You can spend that time, can't you, to listen a little bit of the Word of God, praising Him. Might have a word of prayer. Usually have a song. It's just a great time. Get you some folks together. You say, well, these churches, they're just this. Well, quit talking about the churches and come to the church. Be a member of the at-large congregation. It's large. It's getting bigger. And I really enjoy it. I really do. And I hope you'll come. How do you come? Well, you just tune into the internet. It's on our internet page, BibleHomeChurch.org. And by the way, you don't need a specific time. I know a lot of you say, well, I don't go to church but on Saturdays. And others of you say, well, I'm going to just go on Sundays. Well, you know, I read the Bible, and the Bible says we're to, we're to honor God. Whatever day you want. Now, I know the Seventh-day Adventists say, I'm going to stick with Saturday. Good for you. Some of you say, well, I've always had Sunday as my day. Good for you, too. But the thing is, how about giving a day to the Lord? I don't care if it's Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. In fact, why not every day make God the day, every day? Now, that's something different, isn't it? Get up in the morning, and you're there looking in the mirror and say, hello, James or Bobby or Jerry or Sarah or Tony or whatever. And hello, God. Today is your day. You know, I think that'd change a lot of lives, don't you, Jerry? If people just looked in the mirror, they got to look in there anyway, trying to clean the sleep out of your eyes and, you know, dashing a little water on your face. And if you look past all that ugly old person you are to God and say, boy, you're beautiful, God. You're lovely. This is your day. I think you may hear a voice back that says, well, it's going to be your day too. Oh, well. The name of the book, Pastors and Churches Gone Wild. Now, see there, I don't usually give an ad for a book, you know, except in the middle of my talks here. But I went ahead and gave you that ad because I think the book is so important. And I'm going to get a lot of criticism for the book too. Oh, my goodness gracious. Oh, they're going to criticize me. They're going to say what a bad, bad boy I am. And I have so worried about that. I've lost so much sleep over the last 30 years of this ministry. That's right, Jerry. Jerry's laughing at me over there. I have lost sleep. Not much, but in fact, it may not be, might not even be a minute a night. In fact, I'm just joking because I haven't lost any sleep. I don't lose any sleep exposing these evildoers. The Bible says, have no part with the works of darkness, but rather reprove them. What does reprove mean? It means tell them what's what. Tell them how they're wrong. The Bible also says, for a heretic, go to them twice. Now see, you're nice. You go there the first time and say, you know, look, this is wrong. You know, I just want to talk to you about it. But if they don't listen, then go to them again. You know, give them a chance to think it over, maybe a week or so, and then go to them again. And if they still don't listen, we'll just kick the dust off your feet and go right on. Don't worry about them. Don't complain about them. Don't try to destroy them. Don't try to have any payback. Let God handle it. You just go on and do your job. What's your job? Well, serve God. Do whatever God wants you to do. I have a lot of people come, being the young men, they say, I want to know whether I should go in the ministry. Well, I don't know. What did God tell you? Well, should I pray to God? Well, yeah, you better pray to God. You're giving your life work to God. You better pray to him. And he might have something else for you to do. He might want you to be a doctor. He might want you to be a teacher. He might want you to be a carpenter. That's an honorable profession. There might be a reason. You know, I once had a gentleman, he had a PhD and all kind of, you know, letters behind his name, but he got involved in the New Age movement. You know, the New Age movement usually affects these men like that because the simple man of God just doesn't fall for it. But the intellectuals, they're always seeking something new. They're like the Athenians in the Bible. They were always seeking something new. Why, well, they even had a temple to the unknown God. You know, Paul saw that and he probably maybe laughed a little bit, but then he thought, these people are so superstitious. They worship so many different gods and goddesses in this town here in Athens, Greece, that they want to make sure that they remember all of their gods and goddesses. They don't want to forget a one. They don't want to make a god or a goddess angry at them. So they built a temple to the unknown God. And Paul got up on the steps of that temple and preached there. He says, here you have the temple of the unknown God. And I'm now going to declare unto you his name. I'm going to tell you who you've been worshiping all these years as the unknown God. Well, the people of Athens were very curious about that. Big crowd gathered. They wanted to find out who they've been worshiping all those years. Well, Paul declared Jesus to them, and many believed him. They believed it. They had the name of their God. They didn't need any other God after that. Environmentalism. Our president, Barack Obama, is really an idiot. Now, I say that nicely because he really is sort of a village idiot. I mean, he's a whole national idiot, though. That's the trouble. But listen to me just a minute. The guy went all the way to Paris, France, to have a big environmental conference. And all of these world leaders met with him. And they said that the whole world is at stake. The whole world is going to collapse. I mean, we don't have much time. The Pope was really upset. The Pope told those world leaders, we're going under. The world's going to end. The future of man is at stake. Now, you know, I don't know why the Pope doesn't read the Bible. If he'd have just called me on the phone, he could have called me. You know, I don't have any cell phone. Wanda has my cell phone. She knows I don't like those cell phones anyway. I like something with wires on it. I don't even pay attention to that cell phone. Oh, she does. She's got it all figured out how to use it, and she can get Facebook on it and meet with her friends and all kinds of things. But when she's not around and her cell phone rings, I don't even know how to handle it. I'm trying to push this button or, you know, slide this thing over for it. It's a monster. I mean, this is a total monster. I don't know how they invented those things or why, because I don't use it. But in any case, I want you to know something. These people were in Paris claiming the end of the world. Now, the Pope was the biggest one. I mean, he's came to America. He went over to Africa recently, and he said the world is ending as we know it. The world is going to go. Everybody's going to die. The seas, you know, the ice is melting and the seas are getting higher, and all of these island nations, you know, Tahiti and, you know, even Hawaii, Japan, you know, all these island nations are going to be inundated with water. We've got to save all, I mean, first you see the polar bears and now it's going to be horrible. If you'd just called me, I would have told him this is all a big hoax. It's a scandal. It's just a scheme by the New World Order elite to tax us for everything that moves. You know, anything that's gasoline or gas powered, they want to put a big tax on it. A carbon tax, they call it. And they'll have this around the world. All the money goes to the United Nations, and then the United Nations gives it to all of these island nations. In a scam, you got to have a supposed victim. They're the victims, and we big nations that use all this electric power and so forth, we're the bad boys. We're the bad guys. Ooh, America, ooh, terrible. If he had just called me, I'd have told him, Mr. Pope, this is a big hoax. Everybody knows it's a hoax. They've fudged the numbers. They've stacked the dice. They've tricked us all. And they've done it for the last 30 years. Now on our website, we have a little video. It tells you a little bit about the truth about the environment. But let me put it to you bluntly. The Bible in Ecclesiastes says there's going to be spring, summer, winter, fall. The seasons are going to continue until Shiloh comes, until Jesus Christ comes again. And then you're going to see some real problems. Then there's going to be some real hell on earth, followed by heaven, of course, which is even better. But we don't have to worry. The seasons are going to continue on and on and on. You know, don't worry about global warming. It's going to get cold again. I promise you, if you're in a climate that has winter every year, you're going to have winter every year. Might even be colder than the experts claim. Now, Russia and India and a few other countries, know this is a hoax. They know that Europe and the United States have plotted together and are just shafting the rest of the world. Now, Putin doesn't go along with it at all. He laughs about it. And as a consequence, all of the Russian media, all of the newspapers and TV, they're laughing about this. We're the laughing stocks of the world. They think Obama is an idiot, and he is, of course. There's no mention of climate change on the Russian television stations. There's no talk about we got to save Mother Earth or save our lives or anything like that. Now, Russia's official view is voiced by Vladimir Putin. Now, he went to an international climate conference a few years back in 2003, and he said there that warmer temperatures would be good. If we did have global climate, he said, which is a hoax. Those people, they don't like Putin, do they? They just don't like Putin. He spoils our good times. They thought they could trick the whole world. Then comes Putin. He says, you know, global warming, if it were true, that would mean that Russian women would spend less on fur coats than have that money to spend on the rest of the economy rather than fur coats. Huh. See, he finds good things to say about global warming. Then he said, our agricultural specialist, this is his statement now, our agricultural specialists say that our grain production will increase. Thank God for that. Oh, they must have been shriveling. I mean, the other world leaders must have been, ooh. He actually said, thank God. Well, he did. He said, thank God for that. Our grain production will increase. And you know, folks, think about it. When you're shivering up in Idaho and Minnesota and up in the Midwest, up over in Pennsylvania, New England, you're just cold and, oh, this winter, and the ice in New Hampshire is about, you know, as big as you. I had a good friend that moved to New Hampshire from Texas, and he moved right back the next year. I said, what'd you come home for? He said, let me tell you, Tex. He says, the first day of winter, I looked outside and I couldn't see anything. I said, well, there's just ice out here. My whole window was, he says, he's a guy, he's only about 5'4". He said, I got out my door and the ice was, the snow was higher than I am. I told my wife, I'm not going out today. Well, he decided to come home to Texas. We have snow about once every 5 years. It's, you know, it barely makes about an inch or two. And every once in a while, the kids can make a snowman, but it's gone by the afternoon when the sun comes out again. We would like a little warming. On these cold days, you know, it's not that cold in Texas, but I would like it warmer. I want global warming. They're all saying it's going to kill everybody. It'd just make it a little bit warmer. And that's what Putin was saying. Now, his skepticism is unchallenged in Russia. It's not because they're a communist country anymore. They're not. They have freedoms. That you can actually have free speech and say what you want to in Russia, which is not true in the United States. Now, Galina Timchenko, she's former editor-in-chief of a very successful Russian news site. She says, we don't talk about the climate issues on Russian television. It is not interesting to the public. See that? It's not interesting. Summer will come, winter will come. Summer will come, winter will come. That's not interesting. That's boring. But now Obama, he's, the world's going to end. These kids, they give them books. You know, the kids here in Austin were all given a book in the public school system called 50 Ways You Can Save Mother Earth. 50 Ways You Can Save Mother Earth. Goodness gracious. That's incredible. Well, it seems that Putin heard from all these world leaders back in the early 2000s, and he put his staff to work. They did extensive work on this. They got all the scientific data out. And guess what? Andrei Ilarionov, his senior economic advisor there in Russia, what he said, we found that while climate change does exist, it is cyclical. And the anthropogenic role, that's anthropogenic, that means the human role, is very limited. It has become clear the climate is a complicated system, and so far the evidence presented is not very overwhelming. In fact, it is quote-unquote unfounded. That's what the Russian scientists say. Now, they've been able to build nuclear bombs, missiles that can come all the way to the United States. They're pretty scientific over there. And they say global warming is a big myth and a hoax. And it is, of course. Well, meanwhile, we leave global warming. And by the way, if you listen to those people, they're going to make a lot of money off this global warming bunk. Everybody knows. You know, this is the thing. Everybody knows it's malarkey. Isn't it time you woke up? I mean, the Catholic Church said Galileo was crazy. The Catholic Church says the world is flat. It doesn't move around the sun. And now that's what our world leaders are saying. Well, let me say something about this. I've got an article here, sort of interesting. Yeah, here it is. Talking about the world ending. Bill Maher, you know, the comic on television, the Bill Maher show on HBO, Maher, Bill Maher. He's very much an atheist. He hates Christians. He was talking about Ben Carson, you know, the guy, Republican running for the presidential office, who's a black man. Ben Carson's been doing pretty good. Now, it came out that he's a Seventh-day Adventist. Ooh, the media went wild with that one. Well, we cannot elect a Seventh-day Adventist office, can we? Well, you know, Ben Carson looks like a pretty reasonable man to me. I mean, I wouldn't vote for him against him because he's a Seventh-day Adventist. I wouldn't vote for him. Seventh-day Adventist people are pretty nice folks. Got a lot of them that are, you know, followers of this ministry. Get a lot of letters from them. They love Jesus. Ben Carson, no doubt, is a very fine Christian man. But Bill Maher doesn't like him just because he's a Seventh-day Adventist. He says, listen to this, Bill Maher says that Seventh-day Adventism is a deal-breaker. They're Jesus freaks, he says. He said, when you meet a Seventh-day Adventist, ask him this question. Do you think the world is ending? That's the way you know that they're freaks. They think the world is going to end. Well, when they do that, you can just laugh at them and go on, he says. Oh, yeah? I was thinking about it. That's the deal breaker, right? When a Seventh-day Adventist says the world is going to end, because it said, read the book of Peter in the Bible, the letter that Peter wrote to the church. Peter says there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. That's what it says in Isaiah, too. This world is going to roll. It's going to be rolled up like a scroll, it says. Mountains are going to dissolve. There's going to be a new earth and a new heaven. That's what the Bible says. But Bill Maher says that's a deal breaker. You're a Jesus freak if you think the world is going to end. Well, how about Barack Obama? He says the world is going to end. He says through global warming, or now the climate change, because it didn't get warm, never got warm like they said, so they changed the name of it to climate change. Of course, you can't go wrong there. We're always going to have climate, aren't we? I know there'll be a climate tomorrow. Maybe cold, maybe hot, but there'll be climate. Climate change. They think the world's going to end. Talk about freaks. The environmental freaks are out there. I bet Bill Maher is an environmental freak. That's a deal breaker for me. Now, the Seventh-day Adventists, I love them. They're okay. You know, if they know Jesus, that's good enough for me. But now, Bill Maher, he's an environmental freak. That's a deal breaker. He thinks the world's going to end. I know it's going to end too, but not because of the environment. I think that's just a nutty idea. Well, anyway, that's what I think. But who am I? I'm just a guy that just believes in the Bible. Woe is me. I'm just a Jesus freak. I know it breaks all the deals. And hey, Ben, I agree with you, Ben Carson. On that, at least, I do agree with you. Now let's go and take a break. I'll be right back after this brief message. I'm Tex Mars. You're listening to Power of Prophecy. Pastors and churches gone wild. Hi, folks. I'm Tex Mars. That's the title of my newest book. You know, one of the true accounts in here is of the pastor who told his very large congregation. He said, "Surprise me, Lord." That was his prayer. Very short prayer. very brief. He said, "Surprise me, Lord." And you know, about 30 seconds later, he was electrocuted. He was electrocuted. This book will tell you about that. God did exactly what he asked him to do. He surprised him. He electrocuted him. He said, "That can't be true, Tex." But it is. Then there's the Assembly of God guy, who a pastor, who said Jesus came to him dressed as a fireman. I think it's pretty wild, don't you? How about the pastor who says he's the reincarnated Jesus? And he asked his entire congregation to take a 666 tattoo. He took a 666 tattoo. And the congregation loves this man. They shower him with money. He has congregations both in Canada and the United States. I have a picture of him in this book. Then there's the Hookers for Jesus group. You know what a hooker is. Well, I don't want to even tell you what it is. Then there's the big Catholic cathedral in Chicago where people went to church one a Saturday or Sunday. I guess it was a Sunday, I'm sure. And there was a circus rope or wire tied from the top of the chapel inside the auditorium all the way to the other side of it. And during a certain moment in the mass, during that Catholic service, a woman got up in her skimpy little bikini and she walked all the way across. Turned out she was a circus worker and she just wanted to have a gift for God. So she got up there in her bikini and walked across the wire during the church service. And then there's Pig Alley Church. It's painted pink. You know, Tony Blair, the former Prime Minister of Britain, he's a member there at Pig Alley. Now, if you go to London, you may want to visit Pig Alley. Now, when you get to the door, you'll notice that there's usually about four big burly guys. But are they guys or are they women? You're not sure. In fact, they're transvestites. And they have beards and all that, and they're all scraggly. But wait just a minute. These big fat guys, they're wearing nuns' habits. And they're very friendly. They escort you in. And if you think that's wild, wait till you get inside. Then you're going to find out the real wildness goes on. That's where Tony Blair goes to church. Tony Blair says he didn't let anybody know he was a Christian when he was prime minister. He said, "The people don't like Christians, so I didn't tell them. I kept it a secret until after I was out of office." He had to leave politics to tell people he was a Christian because the people of Britain would not have liked it to know that he was a Christian. But now they can know that he's a member of the Pig Alley Church, painted pink. You'll hear about the TV evangelist. He's a big-time evangelist who went to Red China, and he told the communist leaders there, he says, "You know, Jesus and your leader, Mao Zedong, believed exactly alike." He said, "I was given a copy of Mao's sayings." That's a little red book, you know, that has all of Mao's sayings in it. He said, "I thought I was reading Jesus. Jesus and Mao think just alike." You know, the problem is I've read the Bible several times, and especially the New Testament many times, and there's no account in there of Jesus killing up to 100 million men and women, butchering them, purging them. That's what Mao Zedong did when he took over. 100 million. But I don't think Jesus ever killed anybody. He wasn't like Mao Zedong at all, was he? So what did this evangelist lie for? Then there's Rick Warren. He says, "Take off that cross. Take the cross off all the churches in America. It offends other religions." We don't want to offend them, do we? I want to offend them. Don't you want to offend them? Of course you do. Jesus says offenses will come, but woe to him who finds the gospel an offense. Woe to him who finds the gospel to be an offense. But Rick Warren says we don't want to offend anybody. Well, he was invited to a meeting of some 4,000 rabbis, Jewish rabbis. What an opportunity. I wish I'd have got an invitation in the mail to that. Why, they wouldn't even let me in the door. They wouldn't even let me park my car in the parking lot. But they invited Rick Warren to go there, Pastor Rick Warren of Saddleback Community Church, America's pastor, they call him. He spoke to these 4,000 Jewish rabbis. And I assume he told them about Jesus and that Jesus was their Messiah and that the Jews had crucified him. And I suppose that they got angry at him and probably threw rocks at him or rotten tomatoes or something, didn't they? I never read about it, but surely it happened. Well, regrettably, unfortunately, read my book. He didn't say anything about Jesus. He just said, he gave them advice. He said, smile and be friendly. That was his advice to the rabbis. Smile and be friendly. Do you think Jesus was pleased with that? I don't think so. I don't think Jesus is going to be pleased with anything these wild and outrageous pastors and churches are doing today. It's incredible. Another pastor of one of America's largest churches, was invited to an interfaith association. Well, they had Muslim imams there. They had Buddhist monks. They had Jewish rabbis and Catholic priests there, and he spoke to them, a Southern Baptist. He was the head of the Southern Baptist Convention. And what did he have to say to all these people from all these other religions, hundreds and hundreds of them in Houston, Texas? He said, quote, as Mahatma Gandhi said, you are the change you seek. Do what? He said, what? He quoted Mahatma Gandhi, a notorious homosexual and a Hindu? That's right. I bet those Buddhists, I bet those Muslims, I bet those Jewish rabbis, I bet they were so impressed. What are these people doing in the ministry? What are they doing as pastors of some of America's largest churches? Of course, there's the naked church. Everybody goes naked there. Because the pastor says, we want to have equality. We want to have equality. And if you have people who dress nicer than others, that creates inequality. We want equality, so everybody goes to church here comes naked. Now, friends, I don't go out of my front door naked. I don't even go inside my house naked. Except I'm going to the shower or something. I'm not a prude. I just don't want to show off my body to anybody. I guess I'm not that handsome. Maybe that's it. Well, in any case, these are just, there's much, I can tell you about the pastor of a Lutheran church. When people walk in the front door, she invites them to take a big gob of condoms and put in their purse or their pockets. So you got to have those condoms. She calls it communion. She says you can have sex with somebody outside of marriage or in marriage. It doesn't matter. But use condoms, she said. She said, that's like communion. You know, when you give yourself to somebody. Oh, my. She hasn't read about Jesus in the Last Supper? Oh, my goodness. My goodness. These are the kind of cases that make you want to cry and cry and cry. And they're in my book. Somebody asked me, why did you write a book like that, Tex? I want people to know. But most of all, I state in the introduction here that not every church in America is like that. There's just a few left. The establishment's gone in a handbasket to hell, but there's just a few left. There's people meeting at homes right now. They can't find a church. The church people laugh at them. They've thrown them out of church. They said, don't come back here anymore. We don't want you. We want rock music. We want all these newfangled things. You'll hear about those churches too in this book. And those people went home. A lot of them cried. I've lost my church. But they didn't lose Jesus. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. They did not lose Jesus. And that's what I wanted to say in this book. Anybody that reads it, I want them to read that Jesus is alive. Jesus is here. And Jesus knows about these things. And someday, everyone's going to go before him, and he's going to say to many, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. The Bible says God is mad with the wicked every day. Every day. He's mad at these people. He's angry at them. But he loves his friends. He loves those who love his word. He says, I want to be your friend. I'm not just God. I want to be your friend. Now, that's what I like. That's the Jesus Christ I know. He's a friend to us. Okay. I want to tell you how to get this book for $22. Please add $5 shipping and handling. Ask for the book Pastors and Churches Gone Wild, or just say, I want that Gone Wild book. We have some friendly folks here, and they know what you're talking about. Ask for the Gone Wild book, $22 plus $5 shipping and handling. We'll put you on our mailing list for 6 more months, give you a free subscription to our newsletter, Power of Prophecy. Again, call us 1-800-234-9673. 1-800-234-9673, or go online at powerofprophecy.com. Or textmars.com. You can get the same thing. Powerofprophecy.com. Go on there and use your charge card or use your PayPal and get the book. And of course you can get it on the other places too. Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com. But please, I do hope you'll get it from us directly so that the ministry can keep going. Now you write to us too at Power of Prophecy 1708. Patterson, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, Austin, Texas, 78733. Hey, by the way, we've got our new catalog. It's being printed up right now. It's going to be to you, about the 1st of January, maybe the 2nd of January, okay? If you don't get it by the 7th of January, then call us and ask us, because it should get to you by the 7th of January. We got our new catalog. Our 30th year anniversary catalog. Oh, it's a big old thing. It's got every book I've written except a couple that are out of print. Many of the greatest tapes, greatest CDs, greatest videos you'll ever see. Give this catalog, get a copy, another copy, and give to your friends. Let everybody see it. There's never been a catalog like this. Power of Prophecy's 30th year anniversary catalog coming to you around January the 2nd through the 7th. Okay, now we're going to return to our regular program. Hey, the Texas secession effort is coming up again. Seems that a member of the Republican Party, Tanya Robertson, she's with the State Republican Executive Committee, and she likes that idea for Texas to secede from the Union. Did you know that Texas used to be a republic? Oh, that was 1832 or something like that before then. They defeated Mexico at San Jacinto, and then they became a republic. Now, later they joined the United States, but there was an agreement. A law was signed by the president, and it said that at any time Texas wants to secede by an act of the state legislature, it can do so. Wow. We legally can leave the Union. And hey, if you're on Social Security, they got to still pay you. That's what they say. Well, if you're getting a military retirement, they'll still pay you. If you're on whatever medical care plan you're on, they'll still pay you. But you'll be a citizen of Texas. Well, this may not pass right now, but it's getting into people's minds. They're thinking of it. They're sick and tired of what this country has become. Republican or Democrat, it's a big fake. Because they're not going to return to the Constitution. They're not going to return to our founding fathers. So you know what? We'll have our Constitution. And let me tell you something, folks. We're not going to have any Muslims live in Texas. Uh-oh, did I say that? There will be no Muslims in a Republic of Texas. They can have their country. They can go back to their countries. We don't want Muslims in Texas. Now, if they come to know Jesus, they can come here. We don't dislike them. We just don't want their mosque in our nation. I tell you, this, I was reading, now I've got a picture here in front of me. Boy, it's of Hillary Rodham Clinton. Hillary Clinton. And she's standing in front of a big, like a billboard saying Council on Foreign Relations. Yeah, the CFR. She was there just recently and gave a speech. Now this picture is dated November 19th, 2015. Just a few weeks back, let me tell you what the headline says. Hillary Clinton says, quote, Muslims are peaceful and tolerant. They have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism. Let me read that again. Hillary Clinton told told the Council on Foreign Relations, Muslims are peaceful and tolerant. They have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism. That sounds a little bit like that Obama when he was asked about the IRS and coming down on tea parties and discriminating against them. He said, there's not a smidgen of evidence of that. What? There's a whole boatload of evidence for it. Muslims are peaceful and tolerant, have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism. Have you heard the name Sayed? Wasn't that his name? Sayed Farouk? He and his wife? You know, they treated that guy good. He came to the United States 4 years back. He came to the United States from the Middle East. He was a Muslim, had the beard and the whole bit. And then he went back and got his wife in Saudi Arabia and brought her back too. They had a little child. He was given a good job by the county public health department. And you know, Americans, they're a welcoming people. They tried to treat this guy right. And when his wife got pregnant, they even had a baby shower for her. The women where he worked had a nice baby shower for her. Oh, they said he was living the American dream. But he went to the mosque at least once a week. And there at the mosque, he planned out his attack. So one day, during Christmas, the month that Jesus was born, he and his wife, Mr. Farouk, murdered 14 people, wounded many others. He killed 14 people. He was so peaceful. He was so tolerant. He would have nothing whatsoever to do with terrorism, would he, Miss Clinton? Boy, you know something? If you're a Muslim, I don't want you in America. You have a right to live. You have a right to be friendly, and we'll be friendly to you. You have a right to work somewhere. You have any rights in the whole world, but you don't have the right to be a U.S. citizen. I've just made up my mind on that. If we didn't have Jews and Muslims living in America, it would be a better country. Why? Because the Jews have a Talmud. And in their Talmud, it calls Jesus a blasphemer and a liar. And they say much worse about Jesus. He's down in hell. And, well, I'm not going to tell you what they say in the Talmud about Jesus. But what they say about his mother Mary, the Jews say that she's a whore. And that's one of the kinder things they say about her. It says in the Talmud that all Christians need to be killed. And according to their law, you will be killed if the Jews can take over a country. You will be killed. I think every Jew ought to go back to Israel, ought to go to Israel. Most of them have never been there. If you're going to believe in the Talmud, you cannot be an American. Because the Talmud says, discriminate, cheat Gentiles in court, kill Gentiles. It's a rotten book, the Talmud. Meanwhile, the Muslims have their Quran. I've read the Quran several times. I've given you a CD audio tape exposing it. Just call and ask for the tape that we have. Exposing the Quran, exposing the Muslim religion. It's not a pretty religion. And their jihad's a devilish idea. You know what? I'm confident that the Jews' religion and the Muslim religion are both scorpions. Put them both in a bottle and let them fight each other. Did you hear what I just said? They're scorpions in a bottle. The Muslim religion and the Jewish religion. And we Christians, we're just a different kind of person because we have Jesus in our heart. We don't want to hurt anybody. I want to be very kind, but I don't want people who hate Christians, hate Gentiles, who want to cheat us, who say that my Lord and Savior is a bastard. I don't want anyone like that living next to me. And I don't want some Muslim who says, I'm going to create jihad and I'm going to kill anybody who won't convert to my faith. I don't want you. Anybody who kills your daughter in some kind of honor killing, or if your wife went out and somehow got raped and then you kill her, you punish her for being raped. Let me tell you, you can just go straight to hell. Now, I have to tell you, I don't want you to go to hell. In fact, I shouldn't have even said that. What I want you to do is to read the Holy Bible and know that Jesus is alive and Jesus will forgive those things. But I'm sorry, I don't want a mosque. You know, somebody went to my sister's little church in Lumberton, Texas. They were visiting from a little town called Conroe. And the woman told my sister was at a higher things in Conroe, little town in Texas, East Texas. The woman told her, well, things are getting very dark. My sister said, well, how so? She says, did you know that in Conroe we now have a church of Lucifer? And we have an Islamic mosque. In a little town, a little East Texas town of Conroe, they have a church of Lucifer and they have an Islamic mosque. Well, I would have told the woman, well, they're both about the same, aren't they? The church of Lucifer and the mosque, they're about the same, aren't they? And you can throw the Jewish religion in there too. By the way, I'm writing a new book now. It's going to be a blockbuster. It's going to be out in March the 1st. Look for it. It's gonna make a lot of trouble. I quote rabbi after rabbi after rabbi who confesses that the serpent is their Messiah. The serpent is the God of the Jews. Wow. Not the God of the Old Testament. Not the God of Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. No, the serpent. That's who the Jews worship. They literally worship someone they call the Holy Serpent. It's amazing. It's astonishing to me. This is the secret doctrine of the Jews. I'm sorry. I don't want somebody who worships the Holy Serpent. I don't want them living by me. Now you say, well, wait just a minute. They own Facebook. They own Microsoft. They're super rich. They're billionaires. Why? What if they close their company down? That's okay. That's okay. Let them take Facebook. Let them take Microsoft. Let them take whatever they want to. Take it back to Israel. We'll make up our own. For every Jewish enterprise that closes down because they get angry at Christians and they want to leave, we'll build 100 more back up. We're smart. Before the Jews ever got here, most of the Jews didn't even get here until the beginning of the 20th century. That's the story of the big statue, the Statue of Liberty. That thing went up, what, 1890-something? It's a big Masonic replica of the statue to the great goddess of Rome, Egypt, and Greece. And the Jews worship the goddess, too. They call her the Shekinah goddess. She has sex with their god. You say, oh, Tex, that's impossible. The Jews only worship God. They don't worship some feminist goddess. Oh, yes, they do. That Statue of Liberty is the Jewish goddess. They call her the Shekinah presence. I don't want that. I don't want that in America. I don't want it next to me. Now they may say, well, why don't you move? Well, you're only 2% of America, the Jews. And the Muslims, you're about, I understand, maybe 2 or 3% of America. Why don't you leave? You 2 or 3%, you 2%. Why don't you leave? We're the vast majority here. Why don't you leave? But I'll tell you what, if you want me to leave, I will. We'll take our land. We'll take Texas, a few other places. We'll make up our own country. We'll do without your Facebook. You wait and see how good we do. You know why we'll do good? Because we're Christian. God will help us. I'm just a crank. That's the way I am. I don't want the Jews and the Muslim churches, so-called here in America. I don't want the synagogue of Satan in America. I don't want the Islamic mosque in America. I don't want some Muslim in there preaching jihad against Americans. You don't appreciate this country? Get out. Mr. Farouk, you're dead now. I'm sorry you're dead. I would have liked to have had the opportunity to evangelize you. But you're dead now. The rest of you, get out. I'll tell you about Jesus, but I'm tired of supporting you as a refugee or an immigrant. You get all our money, you get everything, and then turn around and kill us. It's sickening. I don't want any more of it. By the way, talking about mixed up people. Did you know down in Brazil, they've just, this supposed Christian church called the Universal Church Kingdom of God. No, they're not Christians. Boy, they've got a lot of money though. They've recently built a $300 million Temple of Solomon. Wow. A Temple of Solomon built in Brazil. It's become a big tourist attraction. I've got a picture of it here. It's huge. It's a replica of Solomon's temple. But I'll tell you, it's much grander than Solomon's temple. Believe me. $300 million it cost. The Universal Church Kingdom of God. I don't know who these people are. I don't know how they are able to con people and give them this money. But I know one thing, they're wasting their money. All the events of Armageddon and all of these last days events are going to occur. And I believe this Temple of Solomon will come down. I don't know why they would build this Temple of Solomon, but let me tell you what the Bible says about the temple in the last days. Go to Revelation, the amazing chapter 21 will tell you about the New Jerusalem. Oh yes, the New Jerusalem is a wonderful place. He says, and he carried me away in the spirit. I'm reading chapter 21, verse 10, to a great and high mountain. And he showed me that great city, the Holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, the Holy Jerusalem. Well, I take you right away to, boy, verse 22 says, and I saw no temple therein. John saw no temple in Jerusalem, the holy city of God. For the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are the temple of it. The light of God, the light of Jesus Christ. It's so bright you don't even need a light. And they're the temple. Wow. Now here on earth, there is a temple. It's made up of all those who know Jesus Christ. We're all fit together. He's the cornerstone. He's the headstone too. And he fits us all in. You know, you're a stone. And he takes you as a stone and he fits you in. Did you know that? We come together as the great temple. Wow. We don't need a temple built with human hands. Ours is a temple in which we have Jesus in every one of our hearts. And he takes all of these perfect stones and he puts them together and he makes up his temple. But in heaven, in Holy Jerusalem, there is no temple because we're going to be there. You're going to be there. Jesus is there. God is there. Now this $300 million temple is going to be destroyed. And good for it. I'm glad it's gone. Well, how much longer we got here, Jerry? You mean we're out of time? Oh my goodness. I was just getting started here. Just rounding up. Well, okay. We've talked about a lot today about Vladimir Putin, about the environmental hoax. We've seen how Hillary says the Muslims are so peaceful. I don't know how she explains Mr. Farouk and his murders there in San Bernardino. But I'm sure she's got some explanation. She's lied about everything else. Surely she can lie about that too. We learned about the Temple of Solomon. And we know that Bill Maher says that it's a deal breaker if a Jesus freak thinks the world is ending. But he thinks the world is ending. Environmental collapse. What an idiot he is. Boy. Texas is looking at seceding. I hope they do. I might just join that. And we've talked about a lot of other things. You know, it's been great being with you today. And my prayer is that you'll tune in each week during this same time and discover the power of prophecy.